The Paul Kirtman Podcast.
There's a couple things to be discussing. Some of the things throughout the week, some of the big news. Some of the big news that I think we're going to continue to hear about in the news cycle. I think this is going to carry forward, not just how politics are being discussed in this midterm election, but probably also in the following general election in 2024 when we have a new presidential set of candidates. I don't know who's going to be running on the Republican ticket. It's possible Trump runs. It's possible that he doesn't run. I also think it's very possible that Biden doesn't run. Did you hear this interview? I don't know if you heard this, Zach, but he did an interview this whole time for like the last few years. He's kept saying, yes, I'm going to run for re-election. I'm going to run for re-election. But then recently in an interview, he kind of backpedaled a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about 60 Minutes?
Is that the interview where he was like, well, you know, anything could change? And
Yeah. He said something like, this is paraphrasing, but he said something like, you know, I said I had intention.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I'm going to do it, but there's intention there.
He's intending to, but he's given himself room to come up with a reason to not run. Of course, I think that you got all these Democrat consultants around him. The people that are in charge of the party are like, we cannot do another 4 years of Biden-Harris. She's a complete disaster.
Yeah.
Absolute disaster. She can't even put together a coherent sentence and make a point. She can't debate anything and hold any logic in any kind of argument whatsoever. She's just lying bold-faced to the American people, saying that the borders are open. Even the Democrats want to get rid of her, and they also want to get rid of Biden. Like, how terrible of a situation does it have to be for your party to suddenly have everybody in the party saying, okay, the two people at the top, we can't do this again. They got to go. You know that they are in damage control, you know, zone. That's where they are right now. As we get closer to the 2024 election, or as we get closer to people announcing that they're going to be running, you know, the whole party is just going to be erupting into chaos. I would love to like be a fly on the room inside those DNC meetings to hear a little bit about what they're talking about. But here's something that's definitely going to be discussed as we get closer to the election and closer to the 2024 election. And I say this because it wasn't just a few weeks ago that President Biden was using some really, really harsh, militant, and I mean that in every literal sense of the word, militant, very militaristic rhetoric that he was using in his so-called unity speech or Soul of America, whatever it was called, where he was in front of Independence Hall and had that big lighting behind him, all that red. It was just right out of a horror film. The optics of it looks so bad. But he's using language like, these MAGA forces, tonight, MAGA forces are moving on. You know, it sounds like he's talking about an opposing or invading army that's coming across the border with guns trying to kill everybody. That's how he's referring to MAGA people. Make America great again. Those people that fall inside that Trump community, right? He says that. He says that they are a clear and present danger. He says that they are the biggest threat to democracy in America. And I had said back then that people are going to use that rhetoric to justify the violence that they begin to execute on their neighbor. And just this week, we saw a little bit of that. Here's the clip. This is a clip from one of the local news stations up in North Dakota talking about this exact thing, violence, in which an 18-year-old was murdered, and the reason for this has everything to do with politics.
Dan and Kirsten, according to court papers, moments before he was killed, 18-year-old Kaylor Ellingson called his mom to come rescue him because 41-year-old Shannon Brandt was chasing him in the city of McHenry where the street dance had just wrapped up. The papers don't indicate how Kaylor Ellingson was being chased, but by the time his mom could get there, her son was dead.
I don't understand the differences.
41-year-old Shannon Brandt had a tough time understanding the charges against him, vehicular homicide, and leaving the scene of a deadly accident.
He's actually the one that called 911 to report the crash.
Police say it happened in this alley around 2:30 Sunday morning after the street dance. Court papers show Brandt told the 911 dispatcher that he just hit Kaylor Ellingson because the teen was part of a Republican extremist group and was calling people to come get Brandt after a political argument.
So there you go. You have an 18-year-old and a 41-year-old engaged in a political discussion, a political argument, in the middle of, for all everything I can figure out here, it sounds like a community event, right? It was a street dance. So there was people from the community. They came together. I've never been to one of these things. I have no idea what exactly this was. I assume there was some music and people were just dancing in the street. Who knows? But you got two people living in the same community. It turns out this 18-year-old boy, his mother knew the 41-year-old man that hit the boy with the car. So the murderer and the victim's mother knew each other. So we're talking about people that live in the same community, people that know each other, people that are neighbors. But because of a political argument, the 41-year-old, it says right here in the report, he doesn't understand the charges. This guy, for all we know, this guy thought that he was doing a public service. He was defending the country. You know, thank you for your service. He thought he was one of these guys. This guy thinks he's the good guy. And what did he do? He recognized an 18-year-old kid, comes to the conclusion that he's just a Republican extremist. So he chases the boy around. And this has gone on long enough that the kid actually pulls out, his name is, what was his name? Kerry Elsinger. I'm trying to remember exactly I just don't want to mispronounce it. The 18-year-old, this is happening long enough that the 18-year-old actually pulls out his cell phone, calls his mom, and is asking her, please come and get me. You have got to get me out of here. I'm in danger. There's a guy trying to get me. She doesn't arrive fast enough. This 41-year-old man gets in his car, chases him down, and then just runs over him. And then he calls 911 because, you know, this reminds me so much of when you have somebody that breaks into your house. You know, you hear these stories about someone that breaks into your house. So you shoot him, and then what do? You call 911 because you're one of the good guys, and you need to alert the authorities like, hey, there was just a situation at my house. I had to take matters into my own hands. Don't worry. Everything's fine. My life is fine. My family's fine. My property's fine. But this criminal, this bad guy, intruded, and I had to shoot him. This 41-year-old that murdered this 18-year-old boy because of his politics calls the police and reports what just happened. And when they show up to arrest him, he can't figure out why he's the one being arrested. I don't think that there's much room to question whether or not the rhetoric from the left is feeding into this type of behavior. Because for years now, we've heard people say things like, let them know they're not wanted, show up, get in their face, push them back. Maxine Waters said this, right? Shove them down, shout them down, let them know that they're not wanted. Then just this last summer, because the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, you have all these radicals showing up looking for the homes of Supreme Court justices, and they show up at their houses. They protest outside. You have organizations, these militant leftist organizations, making open calls for intelligence on the Supreme Court justices' families. Friends of Susan B. Anthony Friends of Ruth. That's what the name of the organization was, this Twitter handle. Friends of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, mm-hmm. I suppose, who they're talking about. On Twitter, they're making an open call. Let us know, if you have any information about where the Supreme Court justices' children go to school, let us know. You follow all that up with a guy getting arrested because he's on his way to, quote, kill or kidnap, Justice Kavanaugh. And then now months go by of all this type of highly dangerous suspect activity. And then the commander in chief gives a speech that only a commander in chief would give, where he speaks about his political opponents as though they are some type of invading authoritarian enemy that need to be shot, you know, need to be pushed back. The MAGA forces tonight, this very night, they're moving in on America. They are a clear and present danger to American society and American democracy. They're leading the assaults and the attacks on the American way of life. How can you not come to the conclusion that people are going to buy into that and use that for justification to do things like run down an 18-year-old with your car? I don't think it's going to get any better anytime soon. I think it's going to continue to get worse. And then let's look at the flip side of this. You have people that have been killed by people on the left. We just talked about this 18-year-old who was murdered this week. A couple of years ago, there was an Antifa thug who pulls out a gun and runs down a guy with a MAGA hat and just shoots him and kills him. This is all happening. I think it was like in Portland or Seattle somewhere. I don't know. Where some of this Antifa activity was happening, you know, the autonomous zone, you know, they just took over the city streets. Well, after they shot and killed this guy, after Antifa murdered a guy because he was a Trump supporter in the streets, they had a rally within an hour, from what I can tell. It looks like it was within an hour. It was that night. And a woman standing on a what looks like a trailer or some type of stage or platform, she has a microphone, I think, and she tells the crowd, "I'm not sad that a fascist died tonight." And she's talking about this Trump supporter who was murdered. And the crowd went wild. It was their night of victory. These people have been waiting for the chance to actually execute some real violence on their political opposition. Marching in the streets, one thing. Throwing bricks and rocks through the windows of storefronts is another thing. Setting fire to businesses in the area, that's one thing. But when you can actually kill one of your political opponents, man, it's just taking you to the next level. And this crowd just cheered because they killed a guy. I think that it's probably going to continue to get worse because the people at the top of the political echelons of power are continuing to move down this road where they have to divide, and use more insightful rhetoric, where they're trying to incite people and inflame people's passions against each other. And all that is going to do is it's going to make Americans, neighbors in their own town, like these two guys up in North Dakota, they were neighbors, they were people who knew each other from the same community. It's going to make some people just want to kill other people, and they're going to feel like they're justified because even the president of the United States refers to them as a clear and present danger. And what does anybody do when they're facing a clear and present danger? I'm speaking as a Marine now. Speaking as somebody who is a 0311 infantryman in the Marine Corps for several years, when you're facing a clear and present danger, when you're facing a threat, you know it's up to you to neutralize the threat. That is not the type of rhetoric our elected leadership, our elected politicians need to be speaking towards the American people, making them look inward at each other with hate and with violence on their mind. And that's exactly what President Biden did just a few weeks ago, and now we're seeing the fruit of that type of rhetoric and that type of pushing and division. Why? Just because one party wants to stay in power, so they have to inflame their base and find out where they are so that way they can activate them to stay in power. That's how politics works. I don't think it's going to get much better anytime soon, but hey, look, if you want to make America great again, you got to focus on being great yourself. I'll tell you what, I've heard two clips this week coming from one from a Democrat congresswoman, a member of the squad, and then another one coming from, I guess you could say she's a member of the squad, but she's just not elected to Congress right now. She has had a failed attempt at running for the governor of Georgia, and that's Stacey Abrams. They have said some really bizarre stuff, especially Stacey Abrams. I'm going to get to this here in just a second. So you know how the left loves to go after Donald? First of all, let me just say this. There is absolutely 100% chance that from one election to the other, there is going to be some voter fraud. There absolutely will, right? Since I was in office, I have seen this twice. I saw one election for state representative get thrown out by a judge because there was fraud. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Democrat, and it was all happening in St. Louis. The Democrats were perpetrating fraud on their own voters to try to fix. They literally rigged a primary election. When the evidence was put forward, the judge threw it all out, redid the election, and the other person won by like 1,500 votes. Okay, so absolutely fraud. There's a member of the state Senate right now whose aunt and uncle confessed in court that they crossed district lines. They voted where they live, then they crossed district lines to vote in his district, and he won his primary election by one vote. So his aunt and uncle did not do that. He would have lost by one vote. That was voter fraud. Okay, that was settled in court. It was voter fraud, and it changed the outcome of an election. So voter fraud happens, right? Stacey Abrams, she's kind of backpedaling on this in recent days. It seems like she's trying to backpedal away from this idea that that she had said that the election was stolen from her in 2016. But you can go online, you can YouTube it, you can Google it. There is no shortage of sound bites of Stacey Abrams saying that the election was stolen from her. She refused to concede. She went on Stephen Colbert. She was talking about it. And he's like, so you've never conceded. She goes, no, I haven't. You know, it's a point of pride for her, right? But, you know, if Trump says the election was stolen, oh, it's the big lie. Mm-hmm. Okay. Stacey Abrams, just when you think somebody couldn't be more conspiracy-minded. Now, listen, conspiracy is a real thing. That's why it's against the law. We actually have laws on the books. You can get charged with conspiracy, and that will count against you in a court, and you could go to jail, depending on what the conspiracy is, right? Conspiracy is a real thing. And so you can't just discount somebody because they believe in what could be a conspiracy, even though they can't find the proof for it yet, okay? Conspiracy is a real thing, but, I mean, are we talking about aliens living in the basement of the White House, pulling all the strings, and that's how our countries are? No. Or are we talking about politicians that try to keep the truth silent and non-accessible from the American people? That way they can kind of shift and change the agenda. We're talking about two different things. Stacey Abrams is more of an aliens in the basement kind of conspiracy theorist. So she was recently, now the sound clip is a little bit hard to understand, but you have got to listen. I'm going to go ahead and play this, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about what she said. She's sitting at a panel. She's got, it looks like there's three black men and three black women sitting to either the left or right of her on this stage. It could be at a school. I'm not sure. I don't even understand or know much about this forum, but I know she says this. I'm going to play it. And while she's speaking, there's two women nodding their head in agreement with her. All right, let's take a listen.
There is no such thing as a heartbeat in 6 weeks. It is a manufactured sound designed to convince people that men have the right to take control of a woman's body away from her.
So the sound quality might have been a little bit bad. If you want to actually watch this video clip, you can go to paulkirtman.com, scroll all the way to the bottom. It's radio number 70. I actually have the video right here at paulkirtman.com, paulkirtman.com. Stacey Abrams, did you catch what she said? It was a little bit fuzzy. She's talking about abortion. And, you know, we've had these bills introduced into legislation in state legislatures across the country, often referred to as the heartbeat bill. If you can hear a heartbeat, you can't kill the baby, right? Because there's a heartbeat there. Stacey Abrams, this is just so bizarre. And I said it was two women. It was three women. All three women were kind of subtly, slowly nodding their head in agreement with her when she said that there is no such thing as a heartbeat at 6 weeks. That is a manufactured sound being used to somehow fool men or trick men into thinking that they have a right to determine whether or not their unborn baby lives or dies. So Stacey Abrams is under the impression, I mean, this, you think the moon landing is a conspiracy, right? People are like, oh, you know, we never landed on the moon. Or you see people that say, oh, the CIA and the mafia and all these other people were involved in the assassination of JFK. So you'd have to have all these people be able to keep such a tight secret. Stacey Abrams, she believes that in some recording studio somewhere, somebody manufactured the sound of a baby's heartbeat. And then they sent it out to all the hospitals, not just in America, but in the world, right? Because there's countries where abortion's illegal, and even they can detect a heartbeat at 6 weeks. But they're in on this conspiracy too, right? Because this is a manufactured sound that's being used to trick people. So you have the manufacturers of all the medical equipment. They're in on this. Every doctor in the world, even the pro-choice doctors, are in on this they're all in on this pro-life conspiracy, even the pro-choice doctors. The abortionists themselves, who can detect these heartbeats, right? They are also in on this pro-life conspiracy. So Stacey Abrams believes that the heartbeat is not real. The heartbeat that millions and tens of millions, if not billions of people, have probably had an opportunity to hear right now as they've been preparing to give birth, or when they find out that they're pregnant, they go to their doctor's office. This is a fake sound. This is what's so baffling about this. Stacey Abrams is like at the top. She's at the highest echelons of Democrat influence and leadership. And she's under the impression, she believes, that there is a global conspiracy to fool people into thinking that the sound you hear at 6 weeks isn't a real heartbeat. That was manufactured somewhere in some recording studio. Is that just not the absolute craziest thing? This is on par with Elvis having been abducted by UFOs and living on the backside of the moon with Jimmy Hoffa. It's that kind of conspiracy. Stacey Abrams is that kind, that level of crazy. Have you heard this clip?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, it was a little bit fuzzy. Go to paulkerman.com. Zach,
yeah.
You scroll all the way down to 70. But here's the thing, too. It's like the media is going to totally give her a pass on this. They've totally been giving her a pass on the fact that she's been saying that the election was stolen from her. But, you know, if President Trump says that, well, then it's just a massive conspiracy. It's, quote, the big lie. But this is the hypocrisy that we see coming from the left. And just like you want to add hypocrisy, you want to talk about hypocrisy, there's this type of hypocrisy. And then in the last segment, we were talking about this 41-year-old that murdered this 18-year-old conservative because he's conservative. The left has literally murdered conservatives. But then the left also has to turn themselves into victims too, but they can't do it unless they make something up. Jesse Smollett, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Bubba Wallace, two people that come to mind.
Yep.
No, it's a noose. Somebody hung a noose. Bubba Wallace, look, man, you're a NASCAR driver. You don't know what a pull string looks like on a garage. There's no doubt in my mind that Jesse Wallace had used that pull string himself to lower the garage in his where he keeps his car, in his own garage.
Mm-hmm.
But he invented his own victimhood. He had to find relevance. Nobody knew who this guy was until this happened. He had to create his own relevance, and the left has found relevance in victimhood. It's just the most bizarre. And you know what? It's also the most sad thing. Here we are in America, the land of opportunity. But if you want to be relevant, you got to be a victim. That is the message of the left. If you want to be relevant, you got to be a victim. I want to play one more clip here, and then we'll quickly talk just maybe for a minute about the economy. So the left, here's something that's not so much of a quiet conspiracy. Look, the left is totally fine with wrecking the economy. I will never forget, and if I was a Republican, I'd be playing this on a loop constantly, the image of President Biden throwing a party as they passed and made official the Inflation Reduction Act on the day that the market fell 4%. They're saving the economy. They got their entertainers and everything. Here is squad member Representative Rashid from Detroit questioning some financial CEOs and wanting to make sure that they're doing everything they can to save the planet. But the CEO of JP Morgan Chase has a response for her that I just thought was great.
You have all committed, as you all know, to transition the emissions from lending and investment activities to align with pathways to net zero in 2050. So no new fossil fuel production starting today. That's like zero. So I would like to ask all of you and go down the list, because again, you all have agreed to doing this. Please answer with a simple yes or no. Does your bank have a policy against funding new oil and gas products? Mr. Diamond.
Absolutely not. And that would be the road to hell for America.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Sir, you know what? Everybody that got relief from student loans has a bank account with your bank, should probably take out their account and close their account. You obviously don't care about working class people in frontline communities like ours.
So this is just a great exchange. She goes after Jamie Dimon, CEO of JP Morgan Chase. And she's trying to get all these people to say, to commit, mm-hmm. that your banks are not going to finance any new fossil fuel projects. So she's essentially asking Jamie Dimon, are you willing to commit that you're not going to fund the creation, exploration, or transportation, or refinement of fuel? This is absolutely absurd. Absolutely absurd. If she had her way, gas would literally skyrocket because we wouldn't be able to pull any new oil out of the ground, any new oil. We wouldn't be able to pull it out of the ground. Jamie Dimon, no, that would be the road to hell for America. And it would be. Like, overnight it would be. And then if you notice the way she comes back, she says, she's just so incensed. Mr. Dimon, I just hope that everybody with student loans takes their student loan out of your bank. Can you think of a dumber thing to say to the CEO of JP Morgan Chase? Because everybody with a student loan right now is getting huge relief from President Biden if they get their way. So we're talking about people. Listen, JP Morgan Chase is not out recruiting people. They're not out recruiting people to go into that kind of debt. Please, please go into enormous debt that you'll never be able to pay off with us. That's not what these people are doing. But she thinks that it's a gotcha moment. Like, oh, well, I just hope everybody decides to take their unsolvent situation out of your bank. Jamie Dimon is probably like, hey, please, please, right. take your insolvency away from our institution. It'll make our institution probably much, much healthier. Mm-hmm. Are these people ever going to get it, Zach?
I don't think so. Especially when she was saying that and she was, what'd she say, today or tomorrow?
Yeah.
She was like, can we stop this today? Like the fossil fuel thing? It's just like, today? What?
Yeah, I know. Like,
it's not like a light switch. Like, you know, even if you were to like stop the production, it's not just like it ends today.
Yeah, like suddenly they're going to be like, all right, everybody, let's just go ahead and close the valves on those drills and those pipelines. We're going to shut it all off because we're not going to, you know, all the financiers decided they're not going to finance or help us cover the cost of pulling any new oil out of the ground. It's just absolutely absurd. This is how radical she is, and she's in that same camp with Stacey Abrams, mm-hmm. saying it's a conspiracy. There's no right. such thing as a heartbeat at 6 weeks. It's a global conspiracy. Just absolutely nutty. When we come back here in just a couple minutes, we're going to briefly talk about the economy because the Federal Reserve raised interest rates again, 0.75%. I have a couple thoughts on this, but we're going to run through that pretty quick. And then we're going to get right to the B or not the B. And hopefully Zach can come out and be 2 out of 3. If not, you'll have a chance to be 2 out of 3 next week because we'll scratch your first score.
Sounds good.
It's our game. We can do whatever we want.
Okay.
Before we get to the B or not the B and give Zach his opportunity to reign supreme as the all-time the B or not the B champion, how much do you weigh? Should we say we should put this in weight classes? That would make people really nervous about deciding to play.
I'll say 185.
185. I don't even know what that weight class is. Middleweight?
Probably
middleweight.
Probably
not heavyweight. You can be the middle.
No, not heavyweight. No, that's probably middleweight.
Probably middle. Yeah. Okay. We can make up our own weight classes.
Okay.
There we go. And I know that that's very not orthodox for like a quiz show, but mm-hmm. you know, we can do whatever we want.
Exactly.
But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about this. Just the other day, earlier this week, Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, he had his press release. They announced that they are, in fact, raising interest rates another 75 basis points. So that means 75 basis points is the same as saying 0.75%. Okay, so this is I have some thoughts on this that I just want to clarify for people because I work in the financial industry and everybody's wondering, like, what is this going to do? Is this really going to pull back? Is this going to help rein in inflation? It is. It is. I believe that it is because under the monetary policy, under the system that we have, this is what you would do to start bringing inflation back in. However, the Federal Reserve, they are part and parcel to blame for the inflation that we're seeing. Back in 2010, Bernie Sanders introduced an amendment to a bill, and we found out through a partial audit of the Federal Reserve that they had created up to $16 trillion brand new dollars through private dealings with banks and businesses, not just in America, but around the world. And so this is brand new money that Congress never knew about. We only found out about it from this partial audit of the Federal Reserve. If that money ever, just for whatever reason, feels like it has to come back to America, that's going to be incredibly inflationary. And of course, since then, we have just been on a wild spending spree. Countries over $30 trillion in debt. And every time they want to pass a stimulus package for COVID or anything else, they just create the money. They just create it. And so when they create money, the money in your pocket's worth less. So you have to use more of those dollars to buy stuff. And that's where inflation comes from, because costs start going up. So here's the thing. If we are experiencing 40-year high inflation numbers, it stands to reason that in order to rein in that inflation, it's possible that the Federal Reserve may have to raise interest rates as high as we've seen in 40 years also. 40 years ago, 41 years ago, I'll use 1981 because this is where it really got out of hand. The average for 1981, the average interest rate from the Federal Reserve was over 16%. That is incredible. So for every $100 you borrowed just from that rate alone, that's like having to pay back another $16 plus. Now, of course, banks and other institutions, they will adjust off of that up or down, usually up, and you might have to wind up paying more. But that could really, really, really begin to tighten money down. And there's a lot of Fortune 500 companies that see this happening. And so they're already beginning to lay people off. They're beginning to adjust their forward-looking statements to say, hey, we're not going to grow as much as we thought, or we may not even grow at all over the next quarter or the next year. So there's a lot of people saying you just need to brace for impact. In fact, Jerome Powell said that just a few weeks ago when he gave a speech in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. He said it's going to be painful. And so the economy might have some really difficult things for business owners, for employees, for moms and dads, especially people living paycheck to paycheck, people that have to move and buy a new house now. That's another thing. Mortgage rates have risen for the fifth week in a row, and the average rate on a mortgage is now 6.29%. That is incredibly high, relatively speaking, if you're looking back over the last 10 or 12, 15 years. So things could get a lot worse. I've had to talk with a lot of my clients about this as we discuss, you know, how we move forward with our investment strategies. If anybody wants to get on my mailing list, or if anybody wants to come to just ask me questions about how my company does thing at PR Kurtman Investments, just go to prkurtman.com, prkurtman.com. You can sign up on the email list and get those market reports. Or if you want to ask me questions about investments or like what you might have in your 401k, I'm more than happy just to help you and help get some questions answered for you, just so you can move forward with a little bit of peace. But I tell you what, this economy, I think that we're going to see some tougher times ahead. So it's important to have a strategy for sure. Hey, let's move forward now and do the B or not the B. And we need some music for this.
I agree.
Zach, I think we have some, but it's just not. It's just, it might not be in this system.
Okay.
But I think we got some out there. We need to find out where that is and see if we can bring that back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me see. Where are we? Hold on a second. Where'd my B or not the B stuff go? I threw some easy ones in here for you because I want you. I'm rooting for you.
Well, great.
Okay.
I'm glad.
So the B or not the B. I'm going to read headlines and Zach has to guess whether or not the headline is a real headline or whether or not it's a false headline from the Babylon Bee, BabylonBee.com. All right, here we go. The Bee or not the Bee. Zach, here's the first question. Headline is, millions celebrate Latinx Heritage Month by commemorating the moment a few years ago when the word Latinx was made up.
Well, I've never heard the word Latinx.
You've never heard that word?
I have not.
Oh, so this is a word I think probably and likely invented by white progressives as a way to make Hispanic people more woke, give them a woke word of their own.
Okay.
So instead of calling them Latino, Latina, or Hispanic, or whatever the case may be, they're now Latinx, because it's kind of like a non-binary way to refer to an entire ethnic group.
Right.
That may or may not even identify as non-binary,
because mm-hmm. Exactly.
progressives are so, you know, smart.
Yeah. Okay, now that I know about the word, I am going to say that that is not the Bee. I'm going to say that's a real headline.
That is the Babylon Bee. So that is a fake headline. That is fake news you can trust from the Babylon Bee. Headline being, millions celebrate Latinx Heritage Month by commemorating the moment just a few years ago when the word Latinx was made up. But here's the thing. That one could be real mm-hmm. any day now. They might have a birthday cake for the word Latinx. Congratulations, you're three years old. Hispanics have been woke for 3 years because we the word Latinx is 3 years old or however old it is. Okay, so you're down one.
Okay, that's not good.
Not good. We can come out of this. We can come out of this. It's still early. How much time do we got here?
Plenty of time.
Okay, here we go. Headline is, Nancy Pelosi, quote, "We saved the planet. We're saving the planet with a record $360 billion to save the planet."
Let's see. Pelosi saying that. I'm going to go B on that one.
Oh.
"And we saved the planet. We're saving the planet with record $360 billion.
That is not the B. Nancy Pelosi she actually said it. We are saving the planet with a record $360 billion. Who knew that that's all it would take?
Yeah, I mean, that seems pretty light, really, for any kind of government budget, doesn't it?
For the planet, yeah. Like, I'm just surprised that we got the whole planet saved with only $360 billion. I mean, for less than we spend at the Department of Defense, we've been able to save the planet.
That's what I'm saying. It seems like a pretty low number for us to...
I think she's off.
Yeah.
I think it's going to cost at least $400 billion to save the planet.
Okay, 0 for 2 now. We're not doing great.
Not doing great. We got some more here. We got some more here. Okay, headline is, Google Maps introduces new most ridiculous route imaginable button.
Okay, that is not the B.
That is the Babylon Bee.
Paul.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, the first week's score from a couple weeks ago, we're going to get rid of that score. That was your first game. We're not even going to count that. Google Maps. Okay, so Google Maps did not really introduce a button that gives you the most ridiculous route imaginable. However, that is a great idea.
It is.
It is a great idea. Google or Apple should come out with a button that you can hit to give you the craziest possible route to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a fun thing. And I thought it was real because they already have so many options for the different routes you can actually take. I was like, maybe they're doing something cool.
They should.
Something fun.
They should. So that's a Babylon Bee. That's not a real headline. But if it was, that would be a fun thing to do with the family. Just be like, hey, we're going to take this place is only 10 miles away, but it's probably going to take 3 hours to get there. And we're going to cross covered bridges and low water bridges, and we're going to drive through ostrich farms or whatever, you know. That would be a good idea. Maybe it'll be that's not a real headline from the Babylon Bee, but that also could be a real headline. Maybe somebody from Google or Apple is listening. And if you are and you decide to make this button, Zach and I want creator royalties from that. That's fair.
A little 50-50 maybe.
Yeah, 50-50. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so
3-0. 3-0. Okay. Well, 0-3.
0-3. Okay, got it. All right. Headline is, man given parking ticket because his car's shadow fell on disabled parking space.
I'm not doing great, but I'm going to go with Babylon Bee.
That is not the Bee. That is a real headline. Oh, my goodness. I got some other ones in here. I got some other ones in here that I think are a little bit easier. But that actually happened in England. A man was given a ticket because the shadow of his car landed in the disabled parking space.
I mean, that. I feel like that's one you could fight.
I think they ought to take it straight to King Charles. That's what I think. Okay, here we go. Headline is, AOC tearfully recounts how DeSantis yanked her from her Venezuelan home and human trafficked her to Martha's Vineyard, where she died.
I'm going to go with Babylon Bee.
Babylon Bee. There you go. You've got one. You are, what is it now, 1-4?
1-4.
1-4. Okay. Okay. Headline is, Democrats remind everyone that all the money you just lost in the stock market wasn't really worth much anyway, thanks to inflation.
I'm going to go with Babylon Bee.
Babylon Bee. There you go. Hey, you know what? You're halfway to breaking even here. 2-4. There. Okay. We might get there. All right.
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Okay. Next headline. The U.S. Air Force is seriously demanding that cadets stop using the words mom and dad.
I'm going to go with not the B.
You are correct. That is a real headline. The U.S. Air Force is, I don't know exactly what the policy is here, mm-hmm. but they're telling people that they need to stop using the terms mom and dad, mother, father. I'm not sure if this is quite a woke push to like get rid of like the non-binary figureheads in your family or whatever. Wouldn't surprise me because they've already done that with legislation. They want to take out mom and dad and men and women in legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Hey, you might have it. You might just come up out of this. Here we go. Next headline is Biden tearfully gives Queen one final sniff.
I'm going to go Babylon Bee.
Babylon Bee. Okay, so now here we go. This you are 4 for 4.
Yeah, we'll see if I can get ahead here.
Okay, let me see if I have one here. Do I? Oh, my goodness. You might just have to be tied because I might have just run out of headlines.
I think the DeSantis one. You didn't read
there
that.
There we
one.
Go. Yeah, let's do that one. Mm-hmm. DeSantis is blowing Trump out of the water in Florida's current Republican presidential preference poll.
I'm going to say, this is for the win here. I'm going to go with not the B.
Not the B. And that one wasn't really that hard because it's DeSantis' mm-hmm. home turf is in Florida.
Yep.
And not only that, but DeSantis is crushing it in terms of conservative politics.
Yeah.
Certainly in his own state. I wouldn't be surprised if we see presidential preference polls across the country begin to push a lot more support behind DeSantis.
Mm-hmm.
And I people love Trump, you know, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, you know, if we can have a Trump-like figurehead with his good attributes and not quite as many of his bad ones, I think that's really attractive too.
Yeah, that's I think what most of the people want.
That's exactly right. Strong leadership, strong leadership, and I think DeSantis is one of those guys that can certainly offer that to us. Well, this has been good. So you have won. I can't believe it. You came back. You were down. You were
down
4, and now you came back
mm-hmm.
4 for 5. So you pulled it out. Of the water.
Yep.
Is that? No, you blew it out of the water. You snatched defeat. No. You snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. There. That's a hard. I always try to remember exactly how that saying goes. My dad used to say it all the time when he was preaching messages in church.